Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings conference call of Stovekraft Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajendra Gandhi, Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope that all of you and your families are safe and healthy. On behalf of Stovekraft Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to all participants on Q2 FY23 financial results discussion call. Today on the call, I am joined by Mr. Rajeev Mehta, our CEO, Mr. Balaji AS, our CFO, and the Orient Capital team led by who are our investor relationship advisors. We have uploaded our investor deck and the earnings press release on the stock exchanges and on the company's website. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through them. In Q2 FY23, we have witnessed a steady growth of 12% YOY in top line with the start of the festival season in the Indian market. As you are aware, second and third quarters are stronger quarters for our business. I am pleased to share that we saw growth in both volume and realization. We continue to fulfill our customers' expectations in the best possible manner with a wider product offering in all categories. While we did not take any price hikes in Q2 FY23, the combined benefits of steady raw material prices as well as operating leverage helped improve the gross margins. We stick to our EBITDA guidance of 11%+ annualized for FY23. The company continues to expand its presence in company-owned and company-operated retail stores for the Bijan brand. We have successfully added 18 additional stores in Bengaluru, taking the total count to 19 stores. We expect by March 2023, the total store count to be around 40 stores. Now I will discuss the Q2 performance. The consolidated revenues for the quarter stood at 406 crores versus rupees 363 crores in Q2 FY22, registering a growth of 12% on year-on-year basis. The EBITDA for Q2 FY23 stood at 47 crores versus rupees 43 crores in Q2 FY22. EBITDA margins reported was 11.6% as compared to 11.9% corresponding quarter. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at 26 crores versus 23 crores last year's quarter. PAT margins for the quarter stood at 6.4%. Moving to H1 FY23 performance. The consolidated revenues for H1 FY23 stood at 681 crores versus 577 crores in H1 FY22, registering a growth of 18.1% on the year-on-year basis. EBITDA stood at 69.4 crores versus 65.6 crores in H1 FY22. EBITDA margin reported was 10.2% as compared to 11.4% in the corresponding quarter, corresponding period. H1 FY23 profit after tax stood at 34 crores versus 36.5 crores in H1 FY22. PAT margins for the quarter stood at 5%. Now I would request the moderator to open the floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Resha Mehta from Green Edge. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. So the first is on the channels. So if you could just comment on the e-commerce channel, if you could comment that, you know, I think 2-3 quarters back, we had seen some disruption here. So has this channel recovered for you, and what was the contribution for Q2 from e-com? Then on the export side, so I believe, you know, we've always stated that, you know, we are a B2C focused company. And my understanding is that, you know, exports business for us is essentially a white labeled business. So what's really the rationale to, you know, get into the export market from a white labeling standpoint, while, you know, the domestic opportunity seems to be large? And on the CSD channel, I think, you know, we were planning to enter this channel via some intermediary. So has this already happened? And if yes, then what's the revenue potential and the margins in this channel?
Yeah. On the e-commerce, while, of course, business has, is now steady, unlike the disruption that was there before the beginning of this year. But having said that, during the same period last year, the general trade and the modern retail had disruption. For the consumers, it was not easy to actually shop in these channels. And so there was a spike in the e-commerce channel itself. So on an same period basis, we don't have growth on e-commerce, but the business is moving back to normal. Our contribution from the e-commerce channels continue to be in the same range that we used to be. This was a plus of 34-35% is the contribution from the of the overall revenue that comes from the e-commerce channels. On the export front, yeah, your observation is right, but we have been guiding you all our strategy behind the export business, the white label business. We are while we also export the pigeon products across the Indian diaspora, but particularly for the retailers in the US, it's a white label business for us. In the last few years, we have built a very strong franchise with these retailers, and that was the objective of doing white labeling. In the near future, we hope that we are able to start our operations in the US and either license a brand or start our own brand and distribution play. The objective of doing this white labeling was more to build the relationship and get into these retailers. Today, I can very strongly, confidently say you that your company has a very strong foothold in the retail, in the organized retail in the US. We work with several retailers, and we are a supplier of choice. We have quality and our capabilities are well established there, which will lead to the roadmap of our envisioned plan and our wish, I mean, our future plan. On the
CSD channel.
Anything to do with government is not priority for us. It is compelling to do some CSD business, but that is not our, it is not in our priorities to do. So the CSD, while we still have some very small contribution coming from CSD, but that is, for us, we would want to abstain from anything to do which is either direct government or quasi government.
Right, thanks. And the second question is on the Modular Kitchen acquisition. So if you could just comment on, you know, how is that shaping up in terms of revenue, and, you know, what really is the revenue potential for us, let's say, 2 years down the line from this business?
It will be very difficult to give you a number right now. We are very, very confident of the opportunity, and so that's why we have got into this. And we are now built the range that we would want to do. It's a little different from what generally the modular kitchen, suppliers would do. This is a ready-to-assemble kitchen. We have now built all the standard modules and the supply chain that is required to cater to the customer. It is a kind of a promise that we deliver the kitchen to the customer in, say, 48 hours. We are now almost there, ready, and each of our retail stores now display a kitchen each. That once we are fully, I mean, confident of the trials that we are doing, we'll be announcing to the consumers to come and shop for these kitchens. But otherwise, it is very, very promising. The revenues, we believe will start starting from this quarter.
Would other Stovecraft products like, the Pigeon brand, the Gilma, etc., would they be available in these modular kitchen stores and vice versa?
These are not exclusive modular kitchen stores. These are exclusive Pigeon stores which also display the Pigeon modular kitchens. We have exclusive Gilma stores. These are different from the new planned company-owned, company-operated Pigeon stores.
Right. So basically, the new COCO Pigeon stores will also have modular kitchen displays or can have these modular kitchen displays.
Do have. The modular kitchen display is a part of the Pigeon store.
Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Prithvi from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, is it possible for you to predict the revenue growth between volume and the price hike?
Yeah. For the period, we have grown by 12%, and 9% has come by value. I mean, the price increase that we would have taken over the period over the last three quarters. This quarter, of course, we did not take any price increase, and 3% has come by volume.
Okay. And so, on the volume growth, see, earlier, you had always been talking about it for the domestic business. So, how do we see it? Last few quarters, the volume growth has been very low.
Yeah, the base for this particular period in the last year was high, relatively high. And of course, we continue to grow at the same rate that we are growing. Particularly for this quarter, the pace was as high, relatively high in the last year. There was some pent-up demand over the previous, in the second quarter of the last year because of the COVID lockdowns and all this. But we believe the demand is good and we are growing at a healthy pace in all our various business verticals and the product segments. And we believe that we will continue to grow at the same pace that the company has been growing. Particularly, very specifically, if you want, when you mention about the volume growth in this quarter, it is because of the higher base.
Okay. And on the margin side, can we assume that all the high-cost inventory is now over and from next quarter, there will be a sequential improvement in the gross margin?
Yeah, we are continuously seeing improvement in our gross margins, and we would want to guide you that we will protect the 11% EBITDA margins.
And just a bookkeeping question, what is the export number in this quarter?
Yeah, so for this quarter, it was 38 crores.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sumangal Pugalia from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I noticed that we changed our disclosures in the presentation. So I have a few data questions. Could you provide the volume for the segments?
So the volume, we have given you the pie chart, the percentage of contribution from each of these segments. It's there in our presentation. But is there anything specific you want to know?
No, every quarter we disclose the volumes also per segment. So are we not going to...
In value terms it's given you, I can also tell you that we have in the recent times realized that particularly the volume numbers are very competition sensitive. And so we believe that we would want to give you all value-wise anyways is there in our presentation.
Okay, so LED and Pigeon outlet mix for the as of now for us?
Come back, sir. Sorry.
number of outlets, we also disclose that.
I'll tell you exactly. We have grown by about 19,000. You're talking about the new pigeon stores?
No, no. We disclose, like, for example, last quarter is 40,000 and LET.
40,000 outlets.
In the quarter is 6,600.
Mm.
Of that, 4,000 is
pigeon
and 2,000 is LED.
Yeah.
Okay. And couple of questions on the LED segment. What is the outlook for us? And what is the growth expectations? Or what is the outlook for the LED segment for the business?
We continue to grow on the LED segment. If you want to know exactly, I'll tell you on the LED segment, we have grown by 17% for the period.
Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry, for the period it is 27%.
27 for the quarter?
For the half year.
For the
and
half year.
And quarter it was 17%.
Okay. And are we also seeing some inflationary kind of pressures on our consumer demand, especially in the value segment of our products?
No, we continue to be a value brand. And so for us, that is our core business and we are leaders in the category that we offer. So we continue to grow on that. And maybe one of the categories, some of the categories are moving to premiumization itself. So it is not that the consumer is moving, it is the consumer is moving, not the category is going. Let me explain to you very simple terms. The pressure cooker, aluminium pressure cooker, for us the stainless steel pressure cooker is growing faster than the aluminium pressure cooker. But the consumer itself is moving from the aluminium pressure cooker to the stainless steel pressure cooker. But we continue to be a value brand, and for us, we are growing in that category.
No, I'm saying the consumer demand is still strong, despite or because some of the value players and other retailers are saying that there is some consumer hit due to inflation, so demand hit. So are you seeing that kind of consumer sentiment getting sort of dampened?
No, so we are experiencing reasonably good demand. There is no challenge on the demand side.
Okay. And final, on the channel mix, if you can provide e-commerce, GT, MT, exports, the channel mix for the quarter.
So 37% was the contribution from general trade.
37, okay.
Yeah, the modern trade gave us 10%.
Okay.
E-commerce gave us 36%.
Okay.
And then we have exports at 10%.
All right. Okay, thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Pankit Shah from Dinero Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. I wanted to understand that, just continuing on what the last participant said, with regards to channel mix, e-commerce has been on a higher side at 36%, and of course we have been there since last few years. But does this, what's your plan over next 2 years? You want to reduce this e-commerce exposure, or you think you are comfortable at this level?
So we believe that at a very steady state, this will be around the 30%, because this year we have seen good traction from the general trade. It is the growth from the general trade, which is contributing to larger growth. For us, the e-commerce growth is kind of muted, but we are also seeing normalized demand from the e-commerce also. So for us, we would want to address the consumer in whichever way, and it is not that we want to restrict anything, but I think it would stabilize at the 30%.
Okay, why I specifically asked e-commerce, because overall we have seen a higher competitive intensity, and the own brands of that e-commerce particular player are also getting more competitive.
So that is our strength, and at the value for the value conscious customer, we offer very high quality products and also the after sales service, which makes us more sought after. And for us, honestly, that does not give us any kind of it gives a lot of comfort if there is enough place for these kind of competition to work. If the consumer is looking at value and good quality product, that's where we stand out.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Sir, any, and again, coming to this Kava acquisition, what we announced in January 22. So we had mentioned that we have to capture a 3% market share of a 12,000 crore market. So any progress on Kava acquisition? How are we looking at it?
It is now fully integrated into the company. It is part of our LED business. And we already started selling, distributing these products that we make under the Kava brand. And for the channel and the product line, it is under the LED business.
Okay. Okay. How much revenue would have been contributed as of now?
So, it's part of our LED business, and LED overall as a category, we are growing on the LED business. Now we don't have separate line item for Kava, I can share it, but it is part of our LED business now.
Okay.
Because as far as the product similar, it was an extension of our LED business, and also the channel is the same.
Right. And sir, out of total outlets of 96,000, how much are for Pigeon and how many are for LED focus?
So out of the total 95,000 outlets, we will have, I would tell you, 79 plus, so about 76,000 outlets will be for Pigeon and the rest will be for LED.
Right. And if I'm not wrong, this, we have grown by almost 50%. Because the number of outlets on September 21 was at 63,000.
Yes, correct. So from last year to this year, yes.
Right. And so all this entirely business of the outlet goes into general trade, right?
Yes, correct.
So I was just thinking that number of outlets distribution wise, we have increased by more than 50%, but the overall growth doesn't look that encouraging or in equivalent to the number of distribution outlets we have.
So, in the quarter, general trade has grown by 43%, and for the year, half year, general trade is at 45%.
Okay. So you think the outlet increase will equivalently show in our revenue growth also?
So there is a churn also, and there is a lag in terms of the way the outlet reaches its potential.
Okay. Okay. And can you just comment on how does the growth look like for say
FY24?
As in next year, FY24.
I think it continues to be robust. I think we don't see any challenge in demand. We expect double-digit growth faster than industry average.
Okay. The last question from my side, just wanted some color. We have said that we'll protect 11% margins. And as of now, actually, we have done somewhere close to that, less than that. So I expect that H2 margins has to be even stronger to achieve 11% mark for the whole year. And specifically, we can do that because mainly our gross margin should improve.
Yeah, actually, all the high cost inventory was more in the first quarter, but then with all the prices stabilizing and the way we believe that the way the two quarters are progressing, we believe that we can achieve the Q2 kind of margins. And with that, we are confident of maintaining that 11%+ margin for the whole year.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sangeeta Purushottam from Cogito. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to get a sense from you on two things. Now, in the medium term, I define as 3 years, what kind of volume growth are you targeting? And if you could connect that overall to your sense of how the market is shaping up, because in the current year, the 3% volume growth that you're talking about, that seems a little bit low. The second question is related to medium-term margins. How do you see the margin trajectory? Is it likely to go up from the 11%? You know, we did do 13% in FY21. So was that a one-off? And therefore, you know, going forward, we should presume that the margins are going to settle down around 11%. And my other question, third question, really relates to our experience of the business over the last few quarters. You know, what lessons, if any, have we learned from the market turbulence and other challenges that we've seen, and how are those being integrated into the business?
So, I'll go from the bottom in the last question. Learning is an everyday affair, and of course, we would definitely not want to repeat if we have got into a situation and then like I'm sure you would be referring to the margins, and we definitely pass on the margins, whatever is the cost increase, we pass on, or even when the prices go down in a reasonable time, we pass on. We want to be competitive. Definitely there was one-off situation, very, very rare, which we are not unprecedented for us, where we had continuous price input costs rising every quarter on quarter, week on week. And so that was an extraordinary situation. Otherwise, we pass on. And the second thing was the margin range. So it is not that we said that we'll protect 11%. Ideally, you should expect a between to 11 to 13% range. So we want to protect the 11%. It's not that our business is designed around that. Growth, I can say, while see, there are both. One is the new product that we launch and the growth that we will get from this, the various new channels and the expansion that we do. So overall, we believe that a kind of a 10% volume growth can lead to our aspirate double-digit growth.
Right. So could you just help us understand a little bit that what were the peculiar circumstances this year that the volume growth has been, you know, in the low single digits? What feedback, if any, are you getting from the market? What's happening in the industry? If you could just expand a little bit on that.
Yeah, so it is also the product mix and the price at which we sell the product, and also the base. There are three reasons for this. The Q2 particularly of the last year was really good comparatively. There was a good demand that was built up. I don't say there was no demand this time, but then relatively the base was strong. And so you are seeing the growth not looking very high. And I don't see that this is what the number it is going to be. Always normalized. When you see a normalized situation, it is we can expect to grow even in volume terms in the range of 10%.
Right. And in terms of seasonality, are you likely to see, what is Q3 like compared to Q2, you know, on a seasonal basis, and is your first half always better than the second half? How does the business operate?
Yeah, the first quarter is a little softer, and the second and the third quarter are the important quarters for us. And generally, the first half and the second half are more or less the same, more or less.
More or less the same in terms of top line.
Yeah, top, of course. The business is all built around that. So I will say for us, the remaining costs are more or less fixed. If there's an operating leverage, if the top line grows, and then that goes down. And the primary thing is the top line.
Right, right. Okay. And just coming back to the lessons of this high cost that we saw, are you now saying that the company will be a little more nimble in terms of passing on cost increases, and therefore you will not be in a situation where you see the margin drop the way they did?
So we don't have any... there is no need for price increase per se.
Yeah.
With the current cost of our products and the price that we operate with, it takes care of the aspirate margin.
Yeah. No, what I mean is that if you actually experience any increases in future, will you be constantly or regularly passing those on so that at least an 11% margin is maintained?
Yes, that is our... that is our policy, and that's what we would want to do.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Madhu Babu from Canara HSBC Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Sir, both general trade and e-commerce are almost at a kind of similar size at least. So how do you manage the conflict, because pricing differential between e-commerce and general trade, and whether that is an hindrance for general trade expansion? That is the first one. And second, on the exports, what is the current annual run rate and what is the target over a 3-year time frame? And would you look beyond where the Indian diaspora is a very big, whether that is a decent opportunity to look at? Thanks.
Yeah, for us, see, the end user acquisition cost, whether they buy from the general trade, the modern trade or the e-commerce, is the same. And the channel margins we have managed in a way that more or less they address their requirement. And so for the end user, it is the same. It is not that if he's buying from a general trade or the e-commerce, his cost varies. And that is what exactly we try to do to manage this channel conflict. So I don't think for us we have any such challenges. There are some times when, you know, when these entrants are new and they do disproportionate things. I mean, they would do aggressive acquisition activity, consumer acquisition activity where they would burn money. But I think that is a past now. Even the e-commerce platforms work to, I mean, normal margins. And we try and protect what you call market operative price, MOP. We try to do this. On the exports, we are growing. Of course, the base is smaller relative to our the other channels, and also the opportunity is much larger. So we continue to grow at a little higher than what the company is growing. So at the moment, of course, it is. So this will all stabilize over a period. But in the long run, you can see whether it is a general trade or e-commerce or the export getting to the same level. So it is. We are still far away from there. We are closer to 9-10% now. Versus a 30-35% from general trade and e-commerce. Exports will grow, but at a higher rate than the company's current growth rate.
And just on new SKU introduction, any highlights you would like to do on any product or any pipeline?
We launched an air fryer in this quarter. We did the test marketing and sold only in Kerala. We are already doing, we are unable to cater to the demand, is the kind of demand we are seeing there. We'll be rolling, so we continue to add categories and products in the segment that we are. But it's a continuous process, but since you mentioned, I'm only talking about the air fryer, and we have seen very good demand for this product.
Okay, sir, and congrats on outperforming the other peers in this quarter in terms of growth.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Achal Lohade from GM Financial. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for another strong quarter. Now, my question was, if I look at the growth, if you could highlight, the gas cooktops seem to have declined 16% YY. And the smaller appliances have also grown at a smaller pace. At 3%. Would you like to elaborate a little bit on these two sub-segments, specifically what is happening, what are we doing to grow these segments?
See, the gas cooktop, we have completely come out of the oil company business in this quarter. It's absolute zero. And there we had some revenue that we lost. And also the we are rebuilding the channel. So we are seeing we are getting back to the original last year, the base of last year, and then growth from there, because we let go the complete channel, one complete channel for the cooktop business.
I presume that the OCB was completely exited in FY21 itself, isn't it? Was there anything in FY22 as well?
FY22, we were exiting. From the beginning of this year, we are completely, it is zero for us. But this is the first quarter and the first half, we had revenues from, that was the last fag end of our OCB business.
So if I were to, if you were to, you know, remove the OCB part, what is the growth or, you know, in the retail or non-OCB, so to say, what is the growth for gas cooktops?
So I will tell you there are two events to this. One is there was a little slower growth on the e-commerce business on the gas cooktop, particularly when you will compare it with the Q1 of last year's Q1 and a little of Q2. There is a higher, contribution of gas cooktop business from the e-commerce business and completely, exiting the channel. Approximately 20 crores was from the OCB business last year.
In the second quarter or first half, sir?
First half, because we were tapering it off. Almost the whole revenue of that OCB business last year was in the first half.
Right. No, I was talking about the second quarter specifically. Sorry, I'm harping on that because, you know, it is pulling down the entire growth. So I'm just trying to figure out any specific issues there in these two.
There is no issue. For the last year, like quarter, there was high sales of this cooktop on the online business. And relatively, it is, normalized sales now. And the differential of the OCB. There is no challenge or nothing that is slowing down the growth on the gas cooktop.
And anything on the small appliances?
Small appliances, they continue to grow.
Yeah, so the growth was 100%. So that's why I know the base was large, but anything in that particular sub-segment, any particular product which is seeing a slackness or anything?
Yeah, so one of the categories, the topper, actually the ASP has come down. While the volume growth is, volume numbers are same, the actual ASP has come down and there is a drag in that segment. Otherwise, on the normal, normally we are growing in the smaller plants.
Understood. My second question, if I look at the expenses, in terms of the employee cost, the run rate used to be about, between 25 to 31 crores. In this quarter, it is 36 crores. You want to highlight if that is a recurring run rate we should work with, and what was the A&P spend for the second quarter specifically?
So on the employee, I will tell you that Q2 is the larger quarter. So the direct cost will have definitely gone up, and the normalized you can consider that on an average, it will be in the range of the 35 crores.
A&P cost for the second quarter?
Overall it is 65 crores for the H1, and so H2 also you can expect it to be the same. On the AMP, we spend around the 3.5% and will continue to be there.
3.5% in second quarter, you mean? Okay.
Yeah. No, it is annualized, will be at the same, and we are there at the same number.
My question was in terms of the COCO stores, what is the investment there in terms of CAPEX and as well as OPEX?
The investment goes into three segments. That is, one is the fixtures, furnitures and all this. And then there is a deposit, rental deposit that we pay to the landlords. And there is some inventory that the stores carry. On an average, it is about 15 lakhs per store.
1-5. 15 lakhs per store.
1-5.
Understood. Okay, thank you. I'll come back in the queue for further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anand Venugopal from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to know if you could throw some color on the volume and revenue growth for the second half of this year. Any guidance if you could give that would be.
We believe that volume growth. Value growth is a function of price increase. It depends on the input cost factors.
Thank you. We move on to the next participant. There is a follow-up question from the line of Prithvi from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
So my question is on your retail outlet. So what is the idea here? I mean, how many outlets you want to set up? And then what is the break-even number? I mean, in how many months you will reach break-even? And what kind of revenue are we targeting?
So this is the initial phase of our overall long-term plan of setting up this retail outlets. The initial feedback and inputs are very, very encouraging. On the break-even, we can say that we are already, on an overall channel, we are already profitable. It's already beyond the break-even point. And it is just 1.5-2 months of operation. So the initial feedback is very, very good. Based on this, we would definitely want to take this retail across the country in a phased manner. Initially, we would want to be there across the south and then take it to the other markets of the country.
In the next 2 years, how many outlets you are planning to have?
We have not come to that. That's the second milestone. For us, we have committed that we will be able to set up 40 stores, 35-40 stores in 12 to 18 months. But we believe before the end of this financial year, we will be able to complete these 40 stores in the southern markets. And as we get more inputs from these, and then we would definitely discuss this internally. And if all works well, then every quarter we would want to roll out 25 to 30 stores every quarter.
Okay. And just final follow-up, are we planning to own the stores or, you know, at some point you will look at franchise?
As of now, it's a learning phase. So we want to do company-owned outlets only. And as we travel, we'll have to see if it makes sense to also have franchisee-managed outlets. For us, the experience for the customer is of paramount importance. And we believe that when stores are managed by the company, we can deliver this experience. We will try to deliver the best experience.
Thanks, Adesha, for now.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Dhruv Kashyap, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Very good afternoon to all of you. This question is more from a sort of strategic visioning or a sort of long-term 5 to 10 year perspective. Now, from what I understand in terms of the architecture, we have a Pigeon, we have a Gilma, and we also have a Black & Decker. Currently, I think almost more than 3/4 of the business comes from Pigeon, and that too would be from geographies of strength or sort of expanding geographies. So some color on Pigeon and its expansion plans, either geographical white spaces or channels or whatever. And more importantly, when do we bring in a big play on Black & Decker and Gilma to really become a three-horse company rather than a 1.5 currently? Just wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah, the base for Gilma and Black & Decker are small, and while they are growing, it is not anywhere closer to the Pigeon brand in terms of the volume that the Pigeon brand delivers, because the Pigeon brand also continues to grow at a much higher rate than the industry growth rate itself. So that the focus is equal, and all the three are very important, but the Pigeon brand offers a higher growth in the absolute terms, and it will continue to be a larger contributor for a long time. It is not in the next 3 to 5 years that any of these other brands will be anywhere close, while we will put all our efforts to build both the Black & Decker and Gilma. The opportunity for us in the Pigeon brand is that we can expand both on the, we can add more channels, and we continue to keep on adding products. So it is a multiplier there. So like you mentioned, whether these will be equal, I mean, the three equal horses, it is a long time. But we would want to address the various segments of the consumer. We believe the country is still moving towards that, but today it is more skewed at the middle and the bottom of the pyramid. So the Pigeon brand is actually addressing this segment of the consumer. And so we believe that the Pigeon brand will be the largest contributor for a long time.
So just as a follow-up to that, sir, you have this unique situation where the share of mind of both Pigeon and Black & Decker is significantly higher than the share of wallet. So these brands are known, you know, they have a tremendous, and to my mind, Black & Decker would probably be the most premium appliance brand that India has seen. So isn't there already a lot of awareness, and it's just about following through with a strategic roadmap in terms of men, material, resources to be able to scale up? Because ultimately a really successful, consistent company would be one which is more than just a one-trick pony.
No, it's taken, well taken. I don't deny any of those aspects. Black & Decker is a very strong brand in the premium space. What I would want to bring to you is, while we are committed to build a brand, the country itself, we mean, when you compare these two, the country itself, the contribution from the middle and the bottom of the pyramid is much higher than this, what you call, I can call this a super premium brand and not a premium brand. And so it will, I mean, it will also grow. But because of the differential that it has, it is not 75-25, it is actually 5-95. We are 95% Pigeon. So with that huge differential and the growth rate that exists with Pigeon, the Black & Decker brand will definitely grow. But it will, I mean, to assume that it will be at the, I mean, on revenue terms at par with Pigeon is a long way to go.
Okay. And so my second and final question is on the sort of geographical spread and white spaces. If my understanding is correct, and I might be very wrong, so you can correct me, that a significant part of your business would come from South India, and I'm talking about GT and MT because obviously e-commerce is kind of regional agnostic. Would it be fair to say that you have a lot of headroom in the Northeast, West, and where are you seeing priorities outside the South where you would want to allocate resources to?
No, your understanding is perfect. We are more stronger in the South. We are growing very fast in the West. There's a lot of headroom both in the West, North and East. So the scope for growth, higher growth in the West, North and East is very high. We are seeing very high growth rates in the West. At the moment, we are also putting all the extra efforts in the West. But we will definitely catch up with both the North and the East also. The opportunity, of course, exists to have a more or less same kind of market in across the four regions of the open.
Great. So thanks for that. And in conclusion, I think all of you have been doing an excellent job, and it sounds very exciting what's in store for the company ahead. And I personally stay in Delhi, and I can tell you that there's a lot of brand pull and recall for Pigeon.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ronak Vora from EUM Fund Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Sir, your audio is quite low. Can you please switch to your handset?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, this is much better. Kindly proceed.
Yeah. Sir, I want to ask the 11% YOY growth, can you just break it up between volume and realization growth on YOY basis?
Yeah, we did mention in our presentation. Actually, it's 12% and not 11%. And 3% has come from volume and 9% has come from contribution.
Okay. Price. So, sir, what I want to understand is going ahead, like, how was the festive season for you and how are we seeing the whole Christmas environment panning out for the company?
So, historically, always the second half has been the strongest quarter. Second quarter has been the strongest quarter. And then the third and the fourth quarter are good quarters. But second and third are considered to be stronger quarters. And when you will historically see the first half and the second half, more or less it is a 48-52 or a 50-50 kind of a contribution coming from these two halves. So the second, third and fourth quarter are more or less in that similar range. But still between those two quarters, the third quarter is a little stronger than the fourth quarter.
Okay. And sir, earlier in our previous phone calls, we had guided for approximately 15% growth guidance in terms of top line. So, how do we plan to achieve it with our first half being so low?
That's enough. We have grown by 18%.
Yeah, and... Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, but so from the second quarter, our run rate has been decreasing, say 11%, which happened. And last year, first quarter was because of COVID that we got the whole bump up.
Yeah, we continue to see to believe in what we believe that there is good demand, and we believe that we can go in higher double-digit growth. We'll continue to grow, and the demand we are seeing good, fair and good demand. And so there is, we don't see any challenge in that double-digit growth or higher than industry growth.
Okay. So, just to rephrase the whole question, sir. So in terms of market share, have we seen any improvement? Is there any shift from unorganized to organized? And, just to give a sense on what the industry is going through.
Well, definitely there is a shift from unorganized to organized, but when I mentioned that we are growing higher than the industry, obviously we are acquiring market share from competition. So I think that should answer. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anand Venugopal from BMSPL Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, most of my question got answered. Just if you could give any volume guidance for the second half of this year.
Yeah, we would we believe that we can grow on upwards of 10% on the volume.
Okay, all good. Thanks.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Devansh Nigotia from Simple. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on decent numbers. So just wanted to understand in case of modular kitchen, what is the store count that we have expanded, especially in Bangalore? So all the stores will be having modular kitchen, or how will the unit economics work like?
Yeah, each of the stores that we have currently planned, and we believe that we'll be able to have 40 stores before this end of this year. All these stores have been planned with the modular kitchen display.
Okay. And if you can just also elaborate on how much of the modular kitchen we are manufacturing by ourselves and how much is outsourced manufacturing, and what is the kind of working capital that will be required?
The entire modular kitchen is manufactured within the facilities of Stokra. Of course, we are tied up with a global and nationally well-known brand, Hetic, which is, so the modular kitchens are actually branded as kitchen powered by Hetic. So all the hardware is supplied by them. We use their hardware, and all the furniture side of that, the wooden part of that, is manufactured within the facilities of Stokra.
Okay. And so we've done the capex for that already?
Already done. The plant is fully ready.
Okay. And in case of the stores that we have opened, can you elaborate on the store level unit economics in terms of the rental cost, employee cost, and the gross margins for the kitchen appliance?
Per store, and we are already profitable at consolidated retail itself. The cost versus our revenue, we are already profitable even in the initial first 2 months of the launch of these stores.
And this is without the modular kitchen. Modular kitchen has not still commenced. And
no. The revenues for the modular kitchen will start. We only displayed now. We are getting ready for the whole rollout. The displays are there.
Okay. And how will the installation work?
We have a complete plan for this. Of course, we are promising our customer that from the time they finalize the kitchen order, in 48 hours, we'll install this in their house.
Okay. And what are the kind of margins we are looking at? Even a directional number would be.
For us, the margin for the kitchen brand is product agnostic and channel agnostic.
Okay. And what is the nature of competitive intensity which is there in modular kitchen as of now?
We are very, very aggressively priced. It is very surprising for the consumer when they see touch feel the product, the quality that we offer versus the price that they will have to pay. I can say it is kind of shocking.
Okay. So thanks a lot for the detailed explanation. Best of luck.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rajendra Gandhi for closing comments.
Thank you all of you for patiently hearing to us and having asked your questions. And we hope that we are able to answer all your questions. But whenever, if at all you have any queries, you can always reach us, to us directly or to our investor relationship partners, the Orient Capital. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Stovecraft Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.